And we're here at the HR Power Hour, and we're talking to Michael Scarpone. Michael Scarpone is an executive coach at Career Management Associates, and he also has Scarpone Associates in Kittery, Maine. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's funny, I get to talk to you during the week, but it's, you sound so much better on the radio. You know, one of the reasons I have you on the show today is because you have been what I would call somewhat of an expert in the area in terms of specialty assessments. And one of the things we haven't talked about on the HR Power Hour yet is why somebody would go out and use assessments in the organization that, you know, what's the value to it? And so maybe you can give a little bit of your background of where that comes from, that you would be talking about it, and then kind of talk about some of the assessments, and then we can go over some specifically.
Sure, sure. Yeah, thanks. You know, first of all, I love doing assessments. Absolutely love it. Is that because it gives you some phenomenal information about, you know, about the people that you're going to take their strengths, their weaknesses, opportunities for improvement, depending on the type of assessment that you're going to use. Now, let me step back and tell you that during my graduate work, where I got turned on to this, really was a course in psychometrics. And psychometrics really is the study of psychological tests. And the course itself was fascinating because not only did we learn about tests, but we had to take a bunch of them. And I found out way more about myself than I ever wanted to know.
As a true psychologist, I'm sure that just made you feel wonderful inside.
It did. But, you know, a lot of the psychological tests were developed back in the early days, so to speak, to really assess the dysfunction or the abnormal personality of an individual. And so as the career or the field kind of progressed, what happened was, you know, they kept on refining tests and refining tests. So a lot of the tests now, a lot of the assessments that we use really are, quote, normal assessments, like the Myers-Briggs type indicator, you know, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, really is, you know, does not have a sense of abnormality about it. But so going back to you know, testing itself, the thing that you want to look for in a test is the reliability and the validity. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of assessments out there. But really what you're looking for is, will these things produce the same results each time an individual takes it, you know, the reliability piece? And are they valid? Do they truly measure what they're supposed to be? So before I use any assessments, I really look at the reliability and the validity of the data, because if the data is no good, the assessment and the information that you're going to get is really no good at all.
Now, Mike, in terms of the assessment, you know, companies wonder sometimes not only which, you know, what assessment, but what assessment for what situation. So, you know, obviously you said there's thousands of assessments. What are some of the standards, if you would say, that are used by organizations that you see a lot of?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they tend to go all over the map depending on what you're looking for. There's one, the Myers-Briggs type indicator, and the DISC are two that are used quite often in businesses to look at communication styles. Very effective. They are, the reliability and validity data is pretty high for both of those instruments. They really kind of do assess how people look at other folks in terms of their own personality styles and how communication could, you know, be affected based on, you know, your filters, so to speak. You know, I tend to use an assessment called the Management Development Questionnaire, which I like a lot. It really assesses performance or assesses 20 different dimensions of leadership performance. So it looks at, you know, how adaptive are you to change? How strong are you in the area of project management, those types of things? And it produces a very nice report. And I use that just as developing personal learning plans with folks. A lot of work in the area of emotional intelligence. Now, the background thinking in this, Dave, is pretty clear that there's been a lot of work done by a group out of Boston, actually the Hay Group. And what they said is that the best leaders are not necessarily the ones with the highest IQ. And they developed a capacity called emotional intelligence, which looks at things like being able to empathize, being able to communicate effectively, all kind of the soft skills traits. And when they've done research in this area, what they found is that the most effective leaders really have very strong emotional quotients. So our thinking of the brightest individuals in terms of their intelligence are the best leaders might be misguided on this, right? So we do a lot of work in the emotional quotient area. So, you know, this is just a smattering. There's sales assessment performances. There's one called the predictive index, which, you know, assesses your performance, your potential performance in areas of sales, whatever the topic might be. There's it's uncanny the kind of results you can get using it. And like I said, the instruments have come so far in terms of their sophistication that it really does give a nice indicator of, you know, how you're going to perform or what are some of your blind spots and how we can work on those going forward.
So when a company is looking to assess either an individual or a team,
yep,
take me through exactly some of the questions you might ask them to evaluate to make sure it's the right time for them actually to do an assessment. Because as you know, and I know, that sometimes the organization gets ahead of itself,
yes,
and they're not yet ready for assessing,
yes,
their organization, or they're not yet ready to be doing those type of things at the organization.
Well, the first thing that we always want to look at is the question of, you know, what are your intentions? What do you hope to get out of entering any kind of assessment process? And where is the individual or group of individuals in their development, so to speak? Because I'm not a big fan of just throwing assessments out there for the sake of throwing assessments out there. We really want to know what the purpose is for the assessment. Because a lot of time what you're going to get might be things that you're not looking for at all, right? Because we're actually assessing performance or actually assessing responses to a number of different dimensions. So we need to be really clear about why even go down this road to begin with. Now, having said that, a lot of times, and this just came up the other day in a conversation with someone, they wanted to do a pretty full-blown training for their employees. And the kinds of things that they wanted to do after kind of a brief discussion of with some of their employees about what the needs, what they felt the needs were, kind of things that they wanted to do were really kind of off mark. It was more of what the leadership of the organization felt the employees need rather than what the employees really do need. We see that a lot, right?
You're absolutely correct. We do.
We do. It's like, oh yeah, what they need is communication training. What they really need is conflict resolution training. So, my suggestion to the company was, well, let's go in there and just kind of assess what the needs are. We can do a quick survey to look at, you know, what strengths the employees have and what are the areas for development, and really kind of look to develop a training plan based on that information. On the individual side, Dave, when you're starting to talk coaching and looking at the performance of an individual and either strengthening their performance or corrective action, depending on what it might be, one of the ways to get at it pretty clearly is doing assessments. Because a lot of times the objective information is going to help you set a plan for that individual that you may not be able to get any other way. So be able to sit there and give a couple of assessments to really kind of look at what are the strengths this person has that they can develop and what are the areas that they're going to need some assistance with, you know, becomes a nice foundation on which coaching then can build off of.
When you're talking to companies and saying, hey, this is what you really want to do, I think that the example you might give is an organization that is looking to improve communication amongst a team. Maybe it's the senior leadership team, or maybe
right,
it's the board of directors, or
right,
maybe it's at the director level. And
right,
they're trying to improve that communication between, you know, individuals, not only between their leader, but between the staff. What do you tell them in terms of what the process will be? You know, once they take the assessment, everybody goes, oh, I want to know what I am. I want to know what I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you get them to understand that it's not only about who they are, but it's also how they interact with others and how to use that information specifically?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Dave. You know, so there's a couple of parts of this process. Let's use the Myers-Briggs as kind of a launching off point. You know, I've got a number of years experience using that instrument. So when we do the Myers-Briggs training, which is a great kind of platform to talk about communication, and, you know, for your listeners out there, Myers-Briggs is basically looks at assessing your personality and one of 16 different personality types. And the basic theory is that we all tend to look at the world through filters. And what the Myers-Briggs does is basically assess what those filters are. So, you know, the first piece is understanding what we bring to the table, the gifts that we really bring, and how we can make a valuable contribution to our team based on that. But the second piece, and this is where a lot of the training, doesn't matter if it's just assessments or whatever, usually falls down, is you got to take the information and work with it and really have it become part of the culture. So there's a number of organizations that we've worked with, right, that have taken the information and they apply it in day-to-day life. So anybody, one company in particular, anybody that comes into the company has to take the Myers-Briggs. And during the training sessions or during the employee meetings when they get together regularly, they review the information saying, okay, here's a new employee, here's how they're looking at the world, what kind of gifts do they give to us, how do we begin to use this? So it's not just a quick snapshot. It's how you take this information and then apply it going forward. That then becomes the real gem of using any kind of assessment process.
I think that's very important that they clearly understand what the end result is going to be, because so many times companies provide assessments and then there isn't the follow-up that is needed past that initial point of here's what you are, here's what everybody is, and now go out and use it. They don't really take the time to understand what it really means to interact with the team and to then build off of the strengths and weaknesses that the assessment shows.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we see this all the time, right? It's not just in assessments, but it's also in, you know, you're, I'm going to sound like a little heretic here because I do a lot of this work. It's also in training, right? So we talk about training and people need to go to training for whatever. They want to learn, let's say, conflict resolution skills. And there are thousands and thousands of trainers out there that do some amazing work in terms of standard training. But the key for training is not the class itself, because the class is only going to give you the specifics. The key is what are you going to do to take that information back and use it going forward. Training in and of itself only moves the bar a little bit. Assessments in and of themselves only move the bar a little bit. When we talk about changing organizations or changing individual behavior, it can't just be a snapshot like that. It's got to be continuous work after the session or after the assessments are done.
Well,
right? This is where a lot of times the organization, you know, you talk about changing cultures and organizations or changing behavior in individuals, the individual or the organization slips back to its original form because there is no follow-through or working or kind of forcing, being the sand in that oyster to force the change process.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I can think of so many times you go to seminars, you go to trainings, you go to events, and you are all jazzed up learning all new things, and then you get back to your desk and you have 200 emails, 300 things going on, somebody walks in the office with a problem, and something else is going on, you have something that happens at home, the phone rings, and you go back to exactly what you did before and go, that was a great training, I didn't use a damn thing out of it.
Exactly.
Can I say that on the air? I guess I can. A damn thing out of it, and the fact is that, boy, I had a great time.
And then 6 months later, you come back to the notes that you took, and you go, wow, that was a great training.
Yes, and I learned so much. Thank you so much for that time. And you send emails and appreciate
exactly.
it, and life has been good. We're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we'll be right back.
The year has flown by. A lot has happened. Think about all those files you've added to your computer. Think about losing them all. Songs, taxes, financial documents. Yeah, think about losing them. And then start backing them up with Carbonite Online Backup today. Carbonite backs up your computer files automatically and continually. No matter what happens to your computer, you can easily recover those backed up files. Plus, Carbonite offers unlimited backup for $59 for the entire year, and now Carbonite has more to offer. New plans that include new features like external hard drive backup. I can't imagine losing any of the files I've saved on my computer over the past year. I bet you can't either. That would be a real tragedy. Now, I trust Carbonite. Think you should, too. So, here's the offer. Go to Carbonite.com today, type in the offer code Neil for a free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. The offer code is Neil.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and this is WLOBradio.com and WLOB Radio 1310 AM. That's what we're listening to, and we're here with Michael Scarpone. He's the executive coach at Career Management Associates in Portland, Maine. Michael, again, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dave.
You know what? We've done a whole segment talking about assessments, and I think that they're incredibly valuable. But one of the other big areas that I know you do in terms of your coaching area, not everything that you do, because there's so many things that you do, but is facilitation. And this is facilitations for organizations that need assistance.
Correct.
So tell the audience, if you would, about why somebody would hire a facilitator at a senior management level. Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. And the first reason is that a lot of times to take the facilitation process and kind of unmask, if you will, what's really going on, you need an outside party. So a lot of times people will say, well, we're going to do this ourselves. You know, we'll facilitate this ourselves, or, you know, we don't need an outside resource. And the reality is that when you try to do that process, you don't bring a lot of objectivity, and you're always compromised by the bosses that are sitting in the room, right? So, giving an example, sometimes HR will say, I will do the facilitation myself, I don't need an outside facilitator. And the fact that you are in the room with your CEO or COO, whatever it might be, or whoever you report to, can compromise the position. So the facilitation process that we bring in really is an objective process, right?
Well, that third-party objectivity.
That third-party objectivity is critical. But you pay me to come in to do two things. First of all, to talk about the elephant, I mean, what's really going on in the organization that people haven't been able to talk about. So I like to think of it as poking, you know, the organization in the eye a little bit, or getting them to move a little bit. And that's really important, because I can, you know, I don't have to live with the group. When the process is said and done, I mean, whatever it is, a day, or, you know, if it's a continuation of 6 or 7 months, whatever it might be, you know, when the process is done, I move on, you all have to take what we've facilitated and work on it. So I bring in the objectivity, the ability to call a spade. But most of all, and here's the piece that I think gets kind of tripped up with facilitation, Dave. Not everybody can facilitate. You have got to be looking at the dynamics of the group that's going on all the time, and paying attention not only to the verbal but to the nonverbal, and looking at the collective wisdom of the group that's emerging, and being able to go down paths that may unveil information in such a way that might get the entire group off guard. Now, let me give you an example. We're talking about the role of communication within an organization. I like using communication, because that's one that everybody points to right away. So we're going to facilitate.
It's the number one thing companies say that they need to improve.
And let me tell you, it's never about communication.
That's right. It's
never about communication. And the reason is that because you and I are communicating now, we don't have a problem, I don't think. Right?
Well, at the end of the show, we'll let you know, Mike.
Well, it may be about communication. But the reality is that it's never about communication. It's usually something else. There's a tape in the background that's going on that is causing us not to be open and honest in our communication with us. And the good facilitation process will be able to identify and work with that. It's risky for a facilitator. That's why a lot of trainers don't do facilitation to any degree, because you just don't know what you're going to get. Training, it's controlled. You know, you put up the information, you work with the information, you can do a little coaching. Facilitation in a group, you never know where it's going to wind up. There's no script, because you're working with the group dynamics. It makes people nervous, and a lot of people don't, because it's, especially if you're a control type in an organization,
sure,
the CEO that's really organized and controlled and has to put their finger on the pulse of everything that happens, it can be a little risky because we just don't know where it's going. Now, the end result always is fantastic, and the facilitation processes that we use, that I've seen you use, that I've used, always gets us to that end point, and people feel so great at the end of it. But it's a risky process.
Now, there is no question. There is no question that I think one of the things I know that has to be done whenever you go into a company and you're talking to them about doing this process is to really set the expectation up front with the individual, whether it be HR, a director, the CEO, the president, whoever, of, I don't know where this is going to go. And are you really, really ready to hear what may be really behind the issues?
That's right.
And not in the middle of the facilitation, just shut it down.
That's right.
And I think that's a critical part of facilitation, is finding out if you really have buy-in from senior management. Do they really want to know, and do they really want to fix it?
And if they don't, or if they're giving you lip service and you think that they're really not bought in, don't do it.
No, that's right. You're absolutely don't do it. Absolutely.
You're going to set the organization back. So part of that, though, is being able to show up to the game and really... And I do this a lot in trainings, right? Because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll have a training... And I say this with all the folks that I work with. We have a training outline that we're really clear with, that we've talked with the participants with before the training, and everybody's clear about the direction that we're going. Something will may raise its head during the course of the training that requires facilitation. And I will tell the folks in charge that if this comes up, we will deal with it, because it has to be dealt with in order to move the organization forward. So rather than kind of sweep it under the table and pretend it doesn't exist, if we're talking about, again, let's use our ever popular communication, if we're doing a communication skills training, and halfway into it, we're finding that, in fact, the real issue is that there's a conflict between X and Y, and that it suddenly raised its head, you got to deal with it.
You really do.
You got to do out of integrity of the process. You got to deal with it.
Could you give an example, a short example, if possible, of a time you went in and did a facilitation? Maybe it was a few hours. Maybe it was a couple of days. And give an example of maybe the success that could be done from such a facilitation.
Sure. I'll give you an example of an organization that wanted training in a topic area. So we put together the agenda, and we went through and made sure everybody, the HR director and the CEO and myself, were all on the same, because you want to have a very strong blueprint going forward. No guesses in this, right?
Right.
So we got into the training. There was 10 people, and what I found was that one of the issues that we thought was going to be dealt with before the training session did not get dealt with. And it really was a conflict between three of the principals that never ever got resolved. So, we led through a process of doing this. I didn't just stop the training. I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put aside this training for right now. I want to focus in on this issue and have a conversation about this. The conversation took 5 hours, and everybody got involved, and it was uncomfortable. And it wasn't, I want to get people out of the thinking that it was therapy. It was not therapy. It was just clarifying what was really going on within the organization. At the end of that session, people said that they had been to multiple training sessions before. It's the first time they ever really got to talk about what was really going on. And several months later, I kept on getting emails from the participants just acknowledging the work that had been done and really kind of moved the organization to a different place. It's a transformational conversation. That's what it should be. Facilitation should be a transformational conversation. And in this situation, it was.
No, that's a great example. So, Mike, you live in the Kittery area, Kittery, Maine, but you do this work out throughout the whole Northeast, correct?
Throughout the whole country, yeah.
What's the farthest state that you've done work in?
I'm sorry?
What's the farthest away state that you've done work in?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Colorado. Done some work in California. Just about to go out to New Jersey, I think, in December, although I just spoke with my contact today, and because of the severe storms, et cetera, they're not quite sure of their time frames, but it looks like December. Here's an organization. They have 5 sites around the country. Their New Jersey site wants to do training, and they want to do training on leadership, which is great. They've got a lot of shift supervisors, and they're going down into the lean development process, and they want to train up their people. And in conversation with the quality manager and the plant manager, we agreed that it was too early for training. So what we're going to do is a two-day full-blown assessment using surveys, using some skill development questionnaires, and some one-on-one interviews to really determine what the training needs are for the organization before we do a training blueprint.
No, that's great, and I appreciate you taking the time today to talk about not only facilitation, but the use and value of assessments. You know, certainly, you're definitely valuable to CMA and Career Management Associates as the presenter of this program, and certainly I've known you for quite a while, and I can speak very highly of your skill set.
Nah, thank you. It's such a treat to work with you, Dave. It really is. CMA is such a great organization.
Well, thank you. And here's your HR tip of the week. Work-life balance is a challenge. And many employees experience personal and professional needs to make this a reality. Employers can assist employees to experience work-life balance by offering such opportunities as flexible work schedules, paid time off policies, responsible time and communication expectations, and company-sponsored family events and activities. Those are examples to make work-life work in your organization. And that's your tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Jen Shikani. She is the CEO of Pembra Group Incorporated. She's going to be talking about emotional intelligence, what it is, and why it matters, as well as employee engagement, how it impacts productivity. Catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.